In the interests of public service, and since we'd probably do it anyway, the Average Network takes you now to the bowels of the Pentagon for today's Defense Department Briefing, starring Donald Rummy Rumsfeld and General Price. This is episode 38 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World.
Good afternoon. I have a few comments, I'm sure. Then I'm sure the General must have some comments. Mustn't you, General?
Oh, I'm sure I must have, Mr. Secretary. You know us reticent military types. We never speak unless we have to say something.
Fine, General. Well, don't you all look bright today? I'll fix that. Today, we have to announce that former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill is being investigated for being vain and nasty and treacherous. Just so we know where he is, we're holding him incommunicado at an undisclosed location until we render judgment. By now, of course, you know that everything he's said to anyone, anywhere in the world in the last 2 years was said only because of bitter feelings and unnecessarily harsh judgments that evolved over long geologic epochs and have no bearings. This is the sad thing about poor old Paul. It's been coming on for years, but I should let him tell it himself, even though he can't, so he won't. On other fronts, the Wall Street Journal has assigned an embedded journalist to the South Pole in case of war. He'll be there for a couple of years at least. He'll be staying at our military intel post and reporting on the effects of penguin mating rituals on the stock market. Ron, I think his name is.
Susskind, Don, or, Mr. Secretary.
Susskind? Don Secretary?
No, sir. Ron Susskind is the journalist's name, sir.
Ah, well, that's very nice, I'm sure, General. Good. I like him. He's a good writer. Other news. Isn't this fun, how it just bounces along? Well, we've decided to finally and definitively declare Saddam Hussein a farm implement. Now, that's going to make interviewing him a little tricky. As a farm implement, you'll have to get a signed pass from CIA. Army Intel?
Right, yeah.
Army Intel. My office, the Secretary of Transportation, the Food and Drug Administration, and of course, the Agriculture Department.
Mr. Secretary, if I may, since we hold all illegal farm implements at Guantanamo, you would also have to get a pass signed by the base commander and his priest, Father Malarkey.
Good. That'll be helpful, won't it? In Iraq today, there was an unfortunate accident when a group of protesters accidentally marched under an accidentally moving Bradley fighting vehicle. It was actually accidentally moving under its own power and not being towed. There were 10 Iraqis killed, bringing the total number of inadvertent civilian casualties to 7 since we began. It's too bad that freedom is so untidy, but there you have it. You know, Jerry Bremer tries his very best, and it almost isn't good enough, but it will be when all the strings begin to cross international boundaries and don't cost a penny more than they would in, oh, say, Ames, Iowa, or Buenos Aires. And that's how democracy works in time to protect the hearth and home of freedoms. Just another word for yabba-dabba-doo. And we'd all like it to be quicker. I'm not saying it isn't, but you can't. And I think that brings your date up to it, General.
Don, I'm proud to stand in this little blue room with a man of your intellectual gift and ability to express it. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've checked my car's glove compartment over 271 times, and I have not found Osama bin Laden. General Projulus Kupchak of the 7th Armored Hostelry Division has been searching a previously undiscovered country between Pakistan and Afghanistan called Dampur. Unlike Kashmir, Afghanistan insists that it belongs to Pakistan and vice versa. No one is willing to claim it. I am informed that If it were flattened out, Dampur would be about the size of New Hampshire, but because of the terrain, it's smaller than Manhattan. It has a population of between 18,000 and 6 million. Everyone dresses the same, so there are discrepancies in that count. It is rumored that Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Waka Waka, and the Taliban have been playing one-night stands there, but this cannot be confirmed. They're a capital city. Herkimer moves around a lot, depending on the weather. Anyway, we're looking for him. It isn't like we stopped. No matter what you vicious, uncaring press people think, we do care. We care a lot.
Now, General,
we do.
There. I suppose you people have to have your questions. You there, Lloyd.
Lloyd Bumstead Havermonkey of the Treakley Standard. Against all the filthy leftist brickbats being thrown, we're actually winning, aren't we?
Well, certainly. All the real Iraqis love us uncritically. How could they help it? We're pretty lovable. You there.
Hash Blender Flash of the Standard Review. Mr. Secretary, you just said that 10 Iraqis had been accidentally killed, but that 7 had been killed since the war began. First, we've heard much higher numbers from other sources. Second, there's a discrepancy of 3 dead Iraqis there, sir. How do you explain this?
I just said that the real Iraqis love us. These people didn't love us, so they must not have been real Iraqis, must they?
Well, what about the other 9,000 reported killed?
I have no way to confirm that. You just say numbers, and I know where to respond, even though it might not be where I left it. Do you see my dilemma? Dead people are always attracted to other dead people. There are some very old and rare cemeteries in Iraq, but we don't know who's in them. Do you? You should tell me if you do.
Moving right along, young lady.
Fred Sloth of the Cleveland Sun-Dealer.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Secretary, are you throwing your old friend Paul O'Neill to the wolves?
There are no wolves in Washington, young man. There are squirrels and poodles and Rottweilers and beavers and squids and pigs and kitty cats, but no wolves. I've known Paul O'Neill since the 60s, when we were young, idealistic old men. I always knew that I thought Paul wasn't crazy or mean. President Bush isn't the man I see in meetings. He always knows whose lunch is ready beyond the point of no return, and that's where the strings go. If I tried to explain it how meetings go, what would your tongues think? President Bush is both an eye and a nose for news. He has cable. You there, in the back.
Jennifer Bennifer of the Hennifer Huron Clarion. Mr. Secretary, how can you declare Saddam Hussein a farm implement? He may be a nutcase and a mass murderer, but how can you declare him a farm implement?
It wasn't easy, and I'd like to thank the legal team at CIA that concocted it, but I can't, because they're classified.
Might I add that an army can't travel on its or anyone else's stomach anymore, not carrying the equipment load that the modern soldier's loving family inserts into the slots and abscesses provided at a variety of access ports built into the postmodern military single-item unit.
We'll return to the Defense Department briefing after a word from our sponsors. This is PTNN, the Potty Time News Network.
Could you turn off the television, George?
And you know, an army needs a
wait a minute.
It never uses, and it's got to have some place to put them.
George, please.
Surplus gear, and the government sells it to me, and I sell it to you.
Yeah. Hang on a second. I like this guy. He weren't really a gunnery sergeant. He's Texas Air National Guard like me. Spent all of 69 skiing in Aspen with Howard Dean. I'm so drunk I don't even remember 69. Dang, Dick. Rumsfeld ever say anything makes any sense? No, often. Just not in front of the press, dear boy. Rumsfeld speaks fluent gibberish.
He had a lot of practice listening to Reagan and Bill Casey.
There were some marvelous examples of inane conversations. Casey with a massive brain tumor, Reagan with a head full of makeup and 50s anti-communism.
Well, George, do you see how easy it is dealing with Secretary O'Neill?
We also have the Independent Women's Forum, Cliff May and Tucker Carlson, calling for his head, and we have Ann Coulter's backup. He's basically a nice man, O'Neill. He'll call himself off.
After a few weeks at Sunny Gitmo, especially.
That was a nice touch, Richard.
Thank you, Henry. Well, I got my distraction ready.
You and O'Keefe are planning to picnic on Mars.
Yep, in 2021. Carl and the numbers crunchers figure we can add $100 billion to the deficit over 4 years by hiding some of the costs. Excellent, George.
That will help. And since there's no real reason to go to Mars other than curiosity, by 2005 or early 2006, the burden on the World Bank should become insupportable.
Then when they fall apart, we take them over, right? In a way, it's complicated, George. Oh, better not tell me, then.
When the World Bank and the IMF collapse under our weight, our hand-picked banks buy them out. Then we are in a position to dictate our economic policies everywhere.
Simply put, we shall economically dominate the world. Sounds pretty neat. Sure glad you two know what you're doing.
I hope we do.
What am I going to do about Ted Kennedy?
Why should you do anything about Ted Kennedy?
Well, he's bad-mouthing me and Carl and Don.
The question remains.
You see, George, Justice Rehnquist castigates us all as well. No one listens to them. Teddy is merely a tempest in a gin bottle.
We still control the spin, Mr. President.
Huh. So what do we do now?
We wait until Monday when the Democrats start killing each other off. We are so unconcerned that Richard here is going off to do some fundraising.
Yes, tomorrow evening, a $500,000 event at the Beer and Howitzer Club of Turlock, California. Let's see, the Future Fossil Society of Scottsdale, Arizona, the Idaho League for Undead Studies at Potato University. Vampire potatoes? Huh, I'm not sure. At any rate, we need not concern ourselves with Mr. O'Neill, and you shall simply remain above the fray.
Look sad and talk about your education baggage.
No child's behind left educated?
I suppose.
As the young people seem to say, Jess Chilhelm. Dick, you should not do that. You ain't no good at hip-hop. You're right. Oh, well, I was considered rather hip when I was young.
That was 322 years
ago. Britney Spears thinks you're kind of cute. She told what's-her-name?
Laura.
Yeah, Laura, about it last week. I've heard of her. Does she have good blood, I wonder? Wow, no, Laura says she thinks she's made out of vinyl siding. Ooh, dear.
Stop thinking about food, Richard. Remember, George, lay low until after Iowa and New Hampshire. Dean is our preferred target, but we can destroy any of them with a little work.
Okay, can I go? Me and Ashcroft got us some cartoons to catch up on and a mess of pie. Certainly, George. I shall see you when I return from my western... Don't forget to bring back lots of money. See you, Dick. See you, Dr. Henry.
Good night, George.
Well, Henry, what would we do without him?
Hire trained chimps. Or Roger Clinton, Bill's idiot brother. Or Gary Bauer, or Dick Lugar, or Haley Barbour, or Asa Hutchinson, or Pete Rose, or Bud Selig, or Dennis Miller.
The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, Episode 38, is written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network. Donald Rumsfeld is portrayed by the late Dwight Fry. Count Richard Cheney is portrayed by the late George MacCready. Dr. Henry Kissinger is portrayed by the late Otto von Bismarck. All other celebrities were portrayed by the Oslo Archaeological Spelunking Society of Greater Norway. Try though it might, the Average Network is a semi-unprofitable organization dedicated to truth, justice, the American way, and a few laughs. This is Pablo T. Flies asking you to stay tuned!